Well, today we really are going to talk about David and Goliath. Last week, that was the plan, and then our conversation went in another direction. But today we are going to talk about David and Goliath. And I mentioned to you last week that when I was a kid, this was one of my favorite Bible stories. In fact, it was probably the favorite Bible story. I remember learning about it in Sunday school on one of those old felt boards. You know, we had Sunday school books that had characters in them. They were perforated, and you punched them out, and they had this something on the back of them, and you'd stick them to the felt board, and you'd reenact the story. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy. Does anybody else remember this? Thank goodness. Laura Allen, felt boards were these things that... So here's the setting of the story that we're going to read from 1 Samuel 17 this morning. The Israelites are in conflict with the Philistines. Now, if you read 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll know that the Philistines and the Israelites come in conflict with each other very, very often. They're constantly bumping into each other, and they're having battles and skirmishes, and the Philistines will take over some land, and then the Israelites will take over that land, and it's a constant battle. And whenever the Philistines and the Israelites run into each other, it's usually not good news for the Israelites because the Philistines are powerful. They have better armor. They have better weapons than the Israelites. They have better technology. And so usually it doesn't turn out all that well for the Israelites, even though they will win a battle here and there. And you'll be able to see the emphasis on the armor and the swords and the javelins and the spear. You'll be able to see that in our passage today. In today's episode, the Israelites and the Philistines meet each other at the Valley of Elah. And the Israelite army is camped on the ridge to the northern side of the valley, and the Philistines are camped on the ridge to the southern side of the valley, and they are at an impasse because they're sort of deadlocked. Nobody wants to leave the safe confines of the ridge to go down in the valley, because when you go down in the valley, you're open, you're vulnerable, and nobody wants to give up the high ground. They don't want to risk it, and so they're at this stalemate. Nobody is brave enough to make a move until finally this mountain of a man leaves the confines of the ridge, goes into the valley. His name is Goliath, and he screams out to the Israelite army and taunts them and says to them that he challenges King Saul to send out his best warrior. Send me the best you got, and I will break your warrior, and we will be victorious, and you will be our servants. That's the deal. And it turns out that single combat like this actually is fairly common in the ancient world. Instead of having whole armies clash and there being a lot of lives lost and a lot of bloodshed, sometimes there would be one champion from each army come and face off, and whoever won that battle won the war. So that's what happens in our story this morning. So Goliath of Gath comes out and issues his challenge. In fact, it's more than a challenge. He is taunting Saul. He's taunting the army of Israel, and he's taunting the God of the Israelites. And day in and day out, for 40 days, Goliath comes out and boasts and taunts the army. And the army of Israel is scared to death. They're like, I just imagine their conversation behind the ridge. They're like, did you see that guy? He's huge. I'm not going to go fight him. You go fight him. I'm not going to go fight him either. He is massive. And nobody is brave enough to go out and meet Goliath on the battlefield until Jesse, a shepherd from Bethlehem, sends his youngest son, David, with food for his brothers who are in Israel's army. And so Jesse says to David, I want you to go take this food to your brothers and just check on them and let me know that they're okay. So when David shows up, he shows up about the time every day when Goliath will stroll out into the valley, and he hears Goliath taunting the army of Israel. And David is not impressed. And that's where our story picks up in chapter 17, verse 32 of 1 Samuel. David said to Saul, let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're just a boy, and he's been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God. David said to the Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine. So Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them. So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field. But David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell down, face down on the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, striking down the Philistine and killing him. There was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine. He grasped his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, then cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me out this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, you have everything you need. Can you do that for me? You have everything you need. Now, we don't know exactly how old David is in this story. We know he's young. He's referred to several times as a boy. He may be 12, he may be 14, but we definitely know he's surprisingly young to be going out there to the battle lines. And yet, out of all of Saul's army, he's the only one who is unfazed by this giant named Goliath. Now, you can't blame the rest of them for being a little nervous. You can't blame them for being afraid. I mean, Goliath is a gargantuan. Some of the ancient manuscripts tell us that Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches. That's a big man. 9 feet 9 inches. Other manuscripts, ancient manuscripts of this passage from 1 Samuel say that Goliath was 6 feet 9 inches, which is also a tall person, but especially if you consider that the average height of an adult male at this time was about 4'11". And remember, there's not great nutrition, not great medical care. The average height of an adult male is 4'11". Goliath was, at the most conservative, 6'9", and could have been 9'9". So David is going out to face a mountain of a man. This guy is massive. He is imposing. But the interesting thing, if you read the whole chapter 17, 1 Samuel seems to be more impressed by Goliath's armor and his weapons than it is even with his height. I mean, certainly 1 Samuel tells us that he's a big man, he's a giant, but there are three verses in chapter 17 devoted to nothing else but telling us about how impressive Goliath's armor and weapons are. I mean, 1 Samuel 17 tells us that Goliath's got a bronze helmet, that he's got bronze scale armor, and that it weighed 125 pounds. Now, you can't just be a wimp and carry around 125 extra pounds of armor on you. Man, that's a lot of armor. And then it goes on that he has brass plates on his shins protecting them. He's got a javelin and he's got a spear, and the shaft on the spear, 1 Samuel tells us, is like the beam of a weaver's loom. This thing is massive, and the head of the spear is made out of iron, and we have the detail that it weighed 15 pounds. Do you know how strong you have to be to hold one end of a stick that has 15 pounds on the other end and still be able to use it as a weapon? Goliath wasn't just big, he was well-armed and he was strong. He's a champion, and for good reason. He is just a beast. Now, would you want to, if you're one of the Israelite army, would you be willing to say, I'll run out and face this giant? No. It would be worse than going out to fight Muhammad Ali. Laurie Allen, Muhammad Ali is So the Israelites are scared to death, and none of them want to go out and fight. But then David shows up, and David is undaunted. He says, hey, y'all don't be scared of this guy. He might be big, but God is bigger. The only person on Israel's side, and this is the army of the Lord, remember, these are God's chosen people, but the only one who looks at this giant and sees that there's something else at work here is David, this little shepherd boy. He says, he might be big, but God is bigger. I'll go fight him. Nobody sees that coming. Nobody expects that from this little boy. Nobody expects this unlikely Savior from Bethlehem. King Saul says, no way, David. You can't fight that guy. This guy's armor is older than you are. I mean, if you go out there, you will be crushed. Have you seen how big he is? He will step on you and not even know it. You can't go out to fight this guy. Have you ever willingly or unwillingly stared in the face of what seemed like insurmountable odds? You ever been in that spot? Have you ever had anybody tell you that you have no chance, that you'd be better off if you just went home, that you're gonna get whipped? That's where David is in this moment. Everybody around him is in his ear telling him that Goliath is so big and Goliath is going to kill him, that winning this battle is impossible. But did you notice David's response? He said, look, I've faced long odds before, and God rescued me time and time again. By the strength of God, I've defeated lions and I've defeated bears, and God is going to give me this victory over this guy. It wasn't that David had faith in himself. It wasn't that he had a whole lot of faith in his own strength or his own ability. It was that David had faith in God. He had faith in this God who had proved himself over and over and rescued him time and time again. When we face giants, no matter how big those giants are, and no matter what those giants are, it can be easy to be intimidated by them. It can be easy to look in the face of a giant and say, "Whew, no way I'm going out to fight that one." It's easy to believe those people who are in your ear, or even maybe those voices aren't external, maybe those voices are inside your own head telling you that you can't possibly overcome, that you've already lost, you might as well just go home, you shouldn't even try, that this battle is impossible. If you're facing some giants, then take note of what David does. David looks back over his lifetime, and he reminds himself and he reminds everybody around him of all the ways that God has already delivered him in the past up to that point. He says, "Look, God has saved me from lions and bears, and God is going to rescue me from this Philistine too." And then David boldly gets ready for battle. Now, when he starts to get ready, King Saul comes over, and Saul wants to clothe David with his own armor. Saul takes his armor off and this is the same Saul, by the way, who's afraid to go out and face Goliath himself. But when David says he's going, he says, "All right, well, just take my armor. I want you to put this on. I got a helmet. Here's a spear." But when David puts all that stuff on and he tries to walk around, he can't do it. It's all clumsy. He's not used to it. All of that stuff just weighs him down and gets in the way. And thankfully, David, this young boy, is wise enough to say, "Hey, this isn't me. I'm not used to this. This is your armor. It's not my armor. It doesn't fit." Two things about that. Saul, just like Goliath, trusts in armor and weapons. David doesn't seem to. Secondly, David realizes that if he's going to be successful, if he's going to win this battle, he can't wage the battle like Saul would. He can't be like Saul. He realizes that he can't wear Saul's armor. If he's going to do this, he's got to use the gifts that God has given to him, not to somebody else. He already has everything he needs for this battle. He already has everything he needs. He just needs to be the person that God has created him to be. He doesn't need to try to be somebody else. He's got to be who God has created him to be. I have a friend named Ken Nelson. In fact, some of you remember Ken preached here a year or so ago. And Ken has this saying. He says his grandmother used to say it all the time. And the saying goes like this: "Be who you is, because if you be who you ain't who you be." I'm going to say that again. I'm going to let you look at him. So soak in a little bit. Be who you is, because if you be who you ain't who you be. Now, grammatically, that's terrible, right? If there are any English teachers out there, you're probably having a conniption right about now. But so grammatically, that's terrible, but practically speaking, that makes a whole lot of sense. Be who you are. Because if you try to be somebody you're not, then if you try to do something somebody else's way, the way somebody else would do them, if you try to be somebody you're not, then you're never going to be the unique person God created you to be. Be who you is. Because if you be who you ain't who you be. David says, "Look, Saul, this just isn't me. I can't be you. I can't wear your armor. I have to be me. I'm a shepherd boy. I don't I don't carry swords or wear armor. I already have everything I need. I've got my shepherd's staff and I've got this sling. And I'll just pick up a couple of handful of rocks. And just a word of explanation about slings. This is not a slingshot like you had when you were a kid. It's not something you hold and you pull the rubber band back and let it go. This is not a slingshot. This is a sling. In fact, I have a picture of one of them. It's these two long cords with a pouch-looking thing in the middle. And once you put the rock or the metal ball in that pouch, and you get it swinging, and you can pick up some velocity on this thing, and then the slinger would let go of one side of the string, and the ball or the rock would be launched. And it's a pretty powerful weapon. In ancient times, there were two kinds of artillery. There were archers and there were slingers. And slingers were dangerous. And so, while it looks, he's definitely at a disadvantage size-wise and with technology and armor and all that, David is going out with a powerful weapon in his hand. And so he grabs his sling, he grabs five smooth stones, and with that sling and that shepherd's stick, David goes out to meet this giant. Now, I'm sure King Saul is back behind the ridge, and I'm sure he doesn't want to watch. I bet David's brothers are covering their eyes. Just, oh, this is the end of David. Our baby brother is not coming back. And we know that Goliath is laughing because he sees David coming. He starts laughing. He says, come on, Israel, is this the best you got? Sending a boy out here? You can't be serious. He's coming out here with sticks and stones? But David is unfazed. He says, yeah, you might have armor and helmets and javelins and spears, but I have the advantage, Goliath. I have the advantage because you come at me with spears and swords and javelins, but I come at you in the name of the living God. God doesn't save by armor or spears. Today, I'm going to feed your dead body to the buzzards. This whole world is going to know that the true God lives in Israel. And with that, David starts running toward Goliath with his sling in his hand, and he lets go of that rock, and that stone hits Goliath right between the eyes. And he dropped like an oak tree. It seemed impossible. But with God, the impossible becomes the inevitable in a hurry. Are you with me? Somebody ought to say amen. With God, the impossible becomes the inevitable in a hurry. So all the soldiers in the Israelites' army looked at Goliath, and they saw this invincible giant who was far bigger and stronger than they were. But that's not what David saw. David looked out at the giant in the valley, and David saw how big God was. Goliath had faith in himself. David had faith in the God who had never let him down. Well, I don't know what giants you might be facing. I don't know what impossible odds you might be staring down. It might be an addiction. It might be family strife. It might be any number of circumstances that seem overwhelming or impossible or insurmountable. Just remember that you have everything you need, because you have a God who created you to be who you are, and that God has promised never to leave you. And with God, the impossible becomes the inevitable in a hurry. The battle belongs to the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.